Well, Flashy Dresser, 3-0 Colt in the first crop, but Flashy Bull's undefeated in three starts. Won his debut on March 4 at Gulfstream, taking a maiden special by 6 3/4 lengths. Sent to Kentucky, won the $75,000 Rushaway Stakes at Turfway. Then, last Saturday, the $250,000 Robert Hilton Memorial Stakes. Bred by Ricky G. Smith, sold as a yearling for $70,000. Flashy Dresser has earned over $223,000 now for his owner-trainer, Fred Seitz. Flashy Dresser is just one of six stakes horses from the first crop by Flashy Bull. A list which includes Flashy Lassie, winner of the Grade 3 Debutante Stakes at Churchill, and the undefeated Beluga Bull, winner of three stakes in Canada. Flashy Dresser was one of 21 individuals by Flashy Bull to sell for more than $50,000 in 2011, with a top price of $250,000. That was for affiliate Keeneland. Horsemen like what they saw, and they're living up to expectations. Flashy Bull, though he was a superior graded runner at both 2 and 3, was at his best at 4, winning his last three starts, including the Grade 1 Stephen Foster at Churchill, for earnings of over $844,000. Stands for $10,000 live foal, with possible breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to a racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and it's a sloppy track here at the Thoroughbred Center this morning, by golly, and good thing we had a lot of works yesterday. Had about 55 works yesterday. I think we had 7 or 8, maybe some this morning.
Yeah, we've gotten at least an inch of rain.
Oh, boy, we needed it.
Yes. Maybe more than that.
Yeah.
So, I'm tickled.
Yeah, woke up this morning about 2:30, and I heard it raining, and I said, boy, it made me happy.
Yes, we've got puddles in all the right places.
Almost feel like jumping out of bed and going outside and running around the house.
Right? Well, don't wake me. You do whatever you want to do.
Well, what are we going to do today? Jay Goodwin is supposed to come in. He's got Goodwin Farm. That's good. What a wonderful name. His last name is Goodwin, G-O-O-W-I-N, and he just separated the two words and made it Goodwin Farm. Anyway, if he makes it. He's supposed to be flying in at the airport. So.
I know, and it's raining.
Yeah, you know how it is. They have to patch it down and everything when you fly nowadays. But anyway, he's got Goodwin Farm over in Bourbon County, and he bought the dam of Gypsy Robin, of Indian Charlie mare named Feisty Princess, for his client, for $55,000 out of Keeneland, carrying Gypsy Robin. So, of course, she won the Beaumont Stakes out of Keeneland just the other day. She's by De Hare, stands over at Shadwell Farm. And he also bought the dam of Flashy Dresser. We just talked about him, who's by Flashy Bull, who stands over at Airdrie Stud. Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Blowen are supposed to be coming in. Brian Turner from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and of course with Briss, subbing for Steve Moody right now. He's going to give us the winner of the stakes race out at Keeneland today. Well, I might take a look at they're running the Jerome up at Aqueduct today, and maybe at the Mr. Jerome was, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Going to talk about Coal Town, who won the Bluegrass. I meant to talk about him last week and forgot. Well, I didn't forget. I ran out of time. Anyway, went to be champion handicap horse as a 4-year-old. Of course, he was a stablemate of Citations, and Citation did not race as a 4-year-old. So, and we got Jackie's announcements, and I've got George Harrison in here with me this morning. And before you all start swooning out there,
see, I was going to come over and swoon. Ah, the Beatles.
He has written a book called Horse Talk 2. Horse Talk is fun, informative, and handy guide dedicated to helping people understand thoroughbreds, racing, and training terminology, if I didn't say it. And, George, you said Michael Blowen sent you over here. Get a little closer to that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I met Michael last week at Keeneland when he brought marquetry out there to show to the crowd. And I do the show out there, Breakfast with the Works, with at Keeneland.
Oh, you do?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Oh, good.
You and Mike work together?
No, we just met. He asked for questions, and I lifted my hand. I said, I told him who I was. I told him that I had my second book out. I'm an exercise writer for Kenny McPeak, and this is my second book, and I told him that I would now like to donate partial proceeds of my book sales to old friends, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation.
Well, that's wonderful.
So we became instant fans.
I bet. I'll bet.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and so you've picked out flush out, for instance. I tried to flush out the number three horse on the backside, but that jockey stayed on the rail all the way around the track and won the race. So that's a jockey term. You ever ride races?
Oh, I rode harness races back in the 80s. My dad was a harness horse trainer out of Saratoga.
Oh, we'll excuse you.
Yes.
I think the term is drive.
Yeah, I drove harness, but I jumped thoroughbreds. Being from Saratoga, they were right across the street from each other. So every time my dad had his back turned, I jumped over to the thoroughbreds. And here I am. Now I'm trying to educate and bring new fans into the sport, get them educated on what we're doing out there on the track, that it's not just a bunch of jockeys driving around, riding around on a track. That's a big misconception, is that they're all jockeys out there early in the morning, but actually they're exercise riders. It's a whole different profession.
This is a book that it would be good for people who just coming around a racetrack first time.
Oh, racing fans, people who like to sit at home and watch the movies like Secretariat and Seabiscuit, or watch TVG, new employees to the sport. Parents of employees, like exercise riders, I really boost up the role of the exercise rider. They're a very, very big part of the business, and their parents and their brothers and sisters, they all love to read the book, and I throw a few names in there, too, to boost up marketing, and like I said, partial proceeds of this book will all go to old friends, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation.
Yeah, how can we buy this book?
You can buy it at all bookstores, any bookstore online, and just type in Horse Talk 2. Or Horse Talk, George Harrison. The second book is all of the first book, plus an extra 100 pages. Mm-hmm. You can get it through me if you see me on the racetrack out at Keeneland. You can come out to Barn 32, visit me. I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have and also sell you some books. And other than that, like I said, online at all bookstores, go to Google it, or go to your favorite bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Was Joseph Beth here in town got it?
I don't think they have it in the store, but they can order it for you and have it there within a couple of days.
Yeah, okay. You got a website for this?
I have a web, my own racing website, georgeharrisonracing.com, and you can get more information on how to get the books. But like I said, I think we might put up a website or a link to buy the book. And but if you can't do that, just like I said, go to your favorite bookstore, Barnes and Noble, Books a Million, Amazon. It's available with all them. Or you can go to the publisher, exlibrius.com. If you're a bookseller, you can also be a reseller and get a 40% discount and sell the books yourself.
Yeah, very good. All right, George. How long have you been with Kenny?
I rode Tejano Run, his first big horse, back in 95. We took Tejano Run to the Derby. And
third, weren't you?
No, we were second. Second behind Thunder Gulch.
You moved him up right away.
We did. Yeah. It was his first big horse, you know, but my first big horse, my first millionaire as an exercise rider. So I've been on and off with him. So we have a real close relationship. And every time I come into Kentucky, we like to hook up, and he'll use me as his exercise rider. And he trusts me a little bit.
Well, he should. Yeah. How do you like his outfit over there on Russell Cave Road?
It's nice. He took me out there for the first time this week, and I had a good time visiting him and seeing some of the old pictures of horses I used to ride. And it's fun now. I mean, yesterday was an exciting race in the Double Dog Dare Stakes with Kathman Blue and Graham Ocean's horse. And Julian Leperu was going for his record-tying seventh win, but Graham Ocean necked us out. So
he's tough, isn't he?
It was, but it was an exciting race.
Yes, it was, yeah. Well, that's very good. This is called Horse Talk 2. What, can you buy Horse Talk 1? Is it?
You can buy Horse Talk 1. It's still available. But Horse Talk 2 has all of Horse Talk 1 information in it, plus an additional 100 pages.
Okay.
I have a question. Are you in the tack shops?
I'm not in the tack shops, but they do have the opportunity to be a reseller. It's just up to them.
Yeah, you might want to go over to
Quill and Tack.
Quill and Tack, one of our smiles in Paris. They get tourists through there, and you might talk to them over here in the gift shop here at the training center, because they get tours.
Well, that's great, and like I need you all folks who to promote this book.
Sure, we will.
And for the good reasons, it's out there. It's all for just fun and publicity and sponsoring, you know, charity events. And I think I'm going to be out to the old friends Derby party Thursday before the Derby, selling the books, and maybe to their after Derby party out to
the farm. Sounds like you ought to go to the in front of the grandstand at Keeneland.
Well, I'm out there. I'm with the Breakfast with the Works. I do that.
Good. That's and, good. Yeah, and, there you go.
And GD, he's we talk about the book, and today we had a contest. If someone could come up to us and tell us what the word crop meant, they would get a free book. So some lady came up and rushed right up there and told us what it was and got a free autographed book.
That's fun.
Well, that's good. Is this my copy here?
That will be your copy as soon as I sign it to you.
Well, you just sign it over. Give him a, here's a good pen. I think it is. It's E-R-C-E-L. I'll have to tell you how to spell it.
All right, we'll get that in just a minute.
All right. All right.
But I am having, I've got four or five books that I'm getting about all the jockeys and as many jockeys and trainers as I can get are signing the books. And those are the books I'm going to donate to old friends to have a blind auction or a silent auction on those books.
Oh, that's good.
And I think I'm also doing a little something for the Disabled Jockey Foundation, too. Give them a couple books with signatures on them and have a little silent auction for that book also, just to raise money. We need to raise money for these events.
Okay. All right, George. Well, thank you for coming by. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, too. I really do. And like I said, you can get Horse Talk, too, at any bookstore online. And if you're in the Lexington area, come on out to Keeneland in the mornings, Barn 32, and see me, and I'll be glad to autograph a copy to you.
Okay, and of course you're going to be at Michael's Derby party, so...
Yes, I am, and like I said, you'll see me out there and come out and talk to me. I love answering questions and talking about the sport.
How'd you get a hold of Bloman?
Well, I met him. I met him in the paddock last week at Keeneland.
Yeah, and, well, I figured he would hustle you somewhere.
Well, I hustled him actually.
We hustled each other.
Yeah, and we became quite good friends.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, I've got to take a little pause here and get those guys on. Thank you, George. It's George Harrison.
George Harrison. Horse Talk 2.
Horse Talk 2. All right. I've got to take care of a little business here. Opening day at Keeneland, the grade one maker's Mark Mile was won by Datalink, a 4-year-old colt from the first crop by Warfront. Then just some 24 hours later, Great Mills, another colt from Warfront's first crop, just missed in the grade three Shakertown at Keeneland. That was on the same card, incidentally. And Dr. Chet, a 3-year-old colt by Warfront, sprinted 6 furlongs, 109 flat to win a maiden special by widening 8.5 lengths. So there's three good runners right there. Of course, that's pretty usual for Warfront. Datalink's time for the Maker's Mark Mile, incidentally, was 1:34.1. That was less than a second off the track record. And he won at the direct expense of the Grade 1 winner, Tour Allure. Great Mile set the fractions of the Shakertown, 21-3, 44-1, and 55-2. And the winner had to set a new track record. Five and a quarter furlongs, 5.5 furlongs, as you say, and 101-2 to best him by a nose. The Sire three grade one stakes winners in his first crop, 5 stakes winners already this year. Warfront, son of the great Danzig, stands for $60,000 doing a full stands at nurses at Claiborne Farm. Also, incidentally, yesterday, out at Keeneland, the Double Dog Dare Stakes, grade three, was won by Pack Attack, and Pack Attack is a 6-year-old mare. She is about Pulpit, who also, of course, stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, last Saturday at Keeneland, the Grade 2 Commonwealth Stakes was won by Lonesome Street, a 5-year-old horse by Broken Vow. Lonesome Street sprinted 7 furlongs of the Commonwealth and 121 flat, missed the track record by just a fifth of a second, boosted his earnings to more than $358,000. He's the 6th 2012 Stakes winner by Broken Vow, and the 3rd this month On April 7th, done talking a three-oak over a broken valve, punched his ticket to the Kentucky Derby by winning the Grade Three $500,000 Illinois Derby. And the day before, good deed, a three-year-old filly by Broken Valve won the Prima Donna Stakes at Oaklawn. The sire of 23 stakes horses last year. Broken Valve's well on his way to besting that record in 2012. He has sired 43 stakes winners, including four Grade One stakes winners, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud for $25,000 live foal. Also at Pin Oak are the stallions Bob and John, a leading second crop sire by Seeking the Goal, Cowboy Cal, a multiple graded stakes winner millionaire by Giant's Causeway, and Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic, who has sired 59 stakes winners and over 100 stakes horses. Inquiries at Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at Pin Oak Stud, and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do.
All righty. I have Michael Blowen here with me, who's busy over here handicapping. Did you bring your own racing form today, or are you leeching off me again?
No, I made a little money at the tracks, and now I can afford to buy my own.
Oh.
I call it's my reinvestment portfolio.
Oh, by the way, before we start anything else, I want to tell you what I've done in your honor today. I wore my mustard-colored corduroys, I found a mustard-colored shirt to go with it.
It's you know, it's so nice that you finally paying attention to your fashion sense. You know what I mean? Look at this is his idea of looking fabulous. Holy mackerel! Ay.
If I had a black vest?
But I like that turtleneck look. I mean, he looks like he's ready to go and read beat poetry in Greenwich Village.
That's me, all over.
You got your Taylor Special hat on too.
Yeah, I got my green
hat
on.
This is great. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Chris Ashcroft, who was Taylor Special's groom, went to every race, took care of him, traveled with him. He was his special aide de camp for 2 years, all the time that Bill Mott had him as campaigning, all the way from Louisiana Derby up to the Kentucky Derby and on. He's coming to the farm tomorrow, and he's bringing us all of his scrapbooks.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said he didn't let one race go by without having a clip in about that race, or any story on Taylor Special didn't escape his attention. So
yeah.
I'm very excited to look at his scrapbooks tomorrow.
I remember him winning the Bluegrass out there. Wired to feel that day, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a good-looking horse.
He's fabulous.
Yeah.
He's a great
his
retiree.
Ears weren't set just right, but other than that.
He looked like he had muley ears.
He was a little flop-eared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some flop-eared horses that could run, no Avenue Doc.
Oh, yeah. I think for herds, some trainers like them.
Yeah.
They look for them.
Yeah. Look for flop ears, huh?
I ran into Wayne Lucas. Well, actually, I stalked him yesterday at Keeneland's.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, really. I think that's what he said, too. But anyway, I told him, I said, Mr. Lucas, you know, we have one of your great horses at the farm. And he said, who's that? I said, Gulch. He goes, oh, he's a great horse. I said, yeah. I ran into your colleague, Leroy Jolly, last summer at Saratoga, and I was telling him we had two of his best horses, Fortunate Prospect and Gulch.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Jolly said to me, that Gulch must be the toughest horse who ever lived. And I said, why do you say that, Mr. Jolly? And he says, because he survived me and Lucas. Wayne thought that was a funny story.
Did he?
Yeah. Hasn't lost his sense of humor.
It's a good thing. He's a big guy.
Yeah, really. Right. He's looking great.
Yeah. Well, that's
looking
fun.
Great. So that was good. It's always been a good time. My friend Fred Krakowiak is here to visit, my artist friend and his wife Diane, and we've been going to the Keeneland just about every day for a few races. It's been a lot of fun.
Is that Fred over there?
That's Fred over there.
All right.
And that's his book behind you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's his book. We got a lot of literary people here today, and artists and everything. It's unbelievable. And we got Jackie, you know, reading Boswell. I mean, this is an unbelievable event here. I feel like I'm at some book party or something.
Yeah, well, I better leave.
We're to be excluded, though.
Yes,
yeah.
Please.
I know please. I know the host should be excluded.
Please.
I know about that. If you can call me a host, I just kind of come in here and sit down. You guys do everything.
Blab.
Yeah, blabbing's my specialty.
Yeah, I know.
I majored in blab.
That and hustling and promoting.
Well, speaking of that, We have some great events coming up for old friends very quickly. We have, of course, Ferdinand's Ball, which is the Thursday before the Kentucky Derby, and it's at the Fraser History Museum in Louisville, just a stone's throw down from the Galt House. You can walk over to the party and have a good time. We have a lot of great people coming. Dahani Jones, former football player for the Cincinnati Bengals, is now a tie designer, bow ties. We have a woman coming, one of the stars of the Housewives of Beverly Hills is coming. She likes the horses and can't wait to come to the farm and all that business and get out of Beverly Hills, I guess. And so that's going to be fun. And then, of course, the day after the Derby, we have our homecoming at Old Friends, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be. Where is the Fraser Museum?
It's right across from the Louisville Slugger Museum.
Okay.
In Louisville.
All right.
Right on Market Street.
Who's it named at?
I don't have no idea. Fraser.
Well, that's a fact. Well, it's got to be a person.
What?
The reason I'm asking
is it's either a person that was involved in the military, and, you know, it's basically an armament museum.
Well, there was a famous artist around here named Fraser, and that's from my female family.
Oh, okay. Who's to say? I think this is different. I would guess it would be different.
Yeah,
it's an armament museum. So this guy either was involved in armaments, I would presume, or gave him a lot of dough.
Okay. I just wanted. They've got some paintings of.
If anybody wants to have old friends named after, just give us a lot of dough. We'll name it whatever you want.
Okay. It figures. Yeah.
$5 might get you a lot.
Yeah, will it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, did you pick your loser of the week?
I got two losers of the week.
All right. Besides me
both,
and Doc.
Both today. Hey, never mind. Doc's been very helpful. You know, we had a couple horses that have been eating this rich grass, and they were having some founder problems. And Janet and Dr. Byers have worked hard to work on them. They're doing good now. So
founder problems, Doc, already?
Yeah, they grass foundered.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, the older mares, older geldings, or older studs, or something.
Yeah, older studs and older geldings.
Huh?
Not. Didn't have any trouble with the mares.
I've never had much trouble with that, and I've got great grass.
Yeah. I think, and I get on to Michael about this now. You know, it's precluded by some obesity that's already there.
Okay.
They get heavy. And this year, they stayed heavy through the winter. So our chance to regulate their body weight and everything else was not favorable to us this year. So they start to get heavy. And we've talked about obesity and what's called the metabolic syndrome. Mm-hmm. And that is what's behind grass founder. Basically, they carry too much body weight. Their necks get a little bit crusty, male and female. They usually have a fat curl around their tail head. Mm-hmm. They may not look obese to people that are seeing them every day, but you can say, well, they're heavy. And when they consume the grasses that are very rich, the grasses have certain sugars that are converted in the body to a form of glucose that is actually inflammatory to the feet, and it blocks their insulin. So the insulin and fat by itself becomes its own insulin blocker. It becomes a hormone. Mm-hmm. It secretes these what they call adipokines, and they go to the pancreas and other areas, and they block the insulin, and so the horse takes in more sugars and he gets heavier and heavier, but the sugars that are inflammatory go down to the feet. So now we got an arc, you know, where the blood gets stagnant.
Yeah.
And these horses start to develop some heat in their feet, and they get tender. Now, fortunately, this is a kind of laminitis that if you manage them properly and get on it pretty quick, you can turn them around. And turn them around with the diet. Don't overfeed them, obviously. Give them hay, plenty of hay. Keep hay out there for them all the time. We use Thyro-L to increase their metabolism to get some of the weight off.
Some get some mild hand walking, and I'd say the majority of horses do pretty well if people will work with them, as opposed to a horse that has a colon torsion, goes to surgery, and comes out of the surgery, and they're foundered. Now, those horses, in my opinion, have been like you hitting your finger with a hammer. It's that quick,
yeah.
And it does that much damage. The grass founder is a slower, insidious process that you can alter. But you can do everything in the world for a horse that's going to be a sinker or have a toxic founder,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you're not going to do much for them.
I better look closer at that mare Jackie rides because she has a tendency to be obese.
Yeah.
And I better take a look. What we do with her, we muzzle her.
Yeah.
With a little, that little thing, right. Where she, holding the muzzle.
Right. Grazing muzzles are terrific. I mean, every one of them, I told Michael, you're going to have to buy a lot of grazing muzzles now. Keep those horses, because this grass isn't going to get less. We may get some drought later in the year, but right now, I mean, you get a spring that you really need to watch.
Yeah, we needed this rain.
Yeah,
right. It was a timely rain.
But. And the cattle are bloating out there off the clover this year.
God, that's
large numbers. And so we know the grasses are rich.
We used to, when my dad was managing Dixiana, and we used to run Herefords all the time, and it'd get down, and we'd have to stick that tube in them, let that gas out. Lord of mercy, that's the worst smell you've ever smelled in your life. I mean, I'd take three skunks any day before that. It's bad. Yeah. Well, let me take a break here.
Okay.
And get back to you. Last Saturday at Santa Anita, Ms. Direction, four-year-old Philip of Mizzenmast, added another stakes win to her growing resume by taking the $100,000 Las Younger Stakes. That was a third consecutive stakes win. Ms. Direction's a typical Mizzenmast. Never been out of the money in 10 career starts, posting 6 wins, 3 seconds, and a third. She's earned over $360,000. She's won all 3 of her starts this year. She won the Grade 3 Monrovia, the Clocker's Tower Handicap, and the Las Ciengas. And she ran a mile of 134-1 to take the Sandy Blue Stakes at Del Mar last year. She also placed in 3 stakes last year, including the Grade 2 San Clemente and the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run, right out here at Keenan, in which she was beaten less than a length for all the money. Mizzenmast is also represented this year by Ultimate Eagle, winner of the Grade 2 Struve Stakes, and one of 3 Grade 1 Stakes winners by his sire. French Stakes winner Lloyd Sinclair, the 3-year-old colt Z Dager, who has placed in the Grade 2 Risen Star and the Grade 3 LeComp, and the promising New York Stakes filly Wicked Miz. Grade 1 Stakes winner Mizzenmast, a proven sire of Grade 1 Stakes winners. He stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. That's the home also of the Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Tom Biedemann's at it again. He's got on Saturday, April the 11th at 10:30 a.m., he's going to an absolute auction of Eagle Valley Farm, which is on a corner of U.S. 68 and Walnut Grove Road down in Nicholas County. And it's one of the finest farms in Nicholas County, or for that matter, in all of central Kentucky. It's a beautiful farm. Features great equine facilities, tree-lined drives throughout, a charming main residence, there's a guest house, there's a pool, a tennis court, and a whole lot more. The farm features include a manager's residence, 6 barns, 104 stalls, 34 paddocks, 16 fields, two 6-horse equisizers, and a large office and equipment building. This is a walkthrough. Also, they're going to auction off household furnishings and antiques, farm equipment. It's going to be immediately following the real estate auction. And you can go out there and look at it between 4 and 7 on April the 23rd. What is April? Next Monday, isn't it? April the 23rd. Is that my right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, and that's, of course, that's Tom Biedemann, real estate and auctioneers. And let me give you his website, biedemannbrokerage.com. Let me just spell Tom's name for you. BIEDERMAN and brokerage.com. And his number is 277-2030. Once again, now, you can inspect it from 4 till 7 on April the 23rd, or you can call up for an appointment at that number, 277-2030. Tom Biedemann, real estate and auctioneers. Well, no biz like show biz. Won his first start as a two-year-old by 10 1/4 lengths at Belmont. Then he competed in 12 consecutive graded stakes. He won 6 of them. And his next two starts as a two-year-old were in the Grade 2 Remsen, which he won, and the Grade 1 Champaign. And he finished second that day to Scat Daddy. He was assigned 122 pounds on the experimental handicap. At 3, he won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial on the dirt. He won the Grade 2 Jamaica on the grass, the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes, also on grass, the Kent Breeders' Cup Stakes on grass, and the Holy Bull Stakes, Grade 3, on dirt. Beat Scat Daddy that day. He also placed in the Grade 2 Dwyer and the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth. Of course, they're both on dirt. So he was equally adept on dirt and grass. No biz like show biz, earned $1,544,000. He's one of 4 Grade 1 Stakes winners and 2 millionaires by Albert the Great. He won Grade 1 Stakes and over $3 million. Out of a Stormcat mare, no biz like show biz, covered 170 mares in his first 2 seasons at stud. Got the numbers going for him. He stands for $5,000, doing a foal stands and nurses over at Crestwood Farm. Just call Pope McLean, Phil Hager, or Robert Keck. Number over there is 252-3770. Or check the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All right, Doc, while you want to... You were rolling pretty good on the founder thing, grass founder, but whatever you want to talk about this
morning. Well, I think last week we never did even get going, so I said we were going to talk about some of the myths that are out there, just a few of them. And and I wanted to show you Fred's book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I'm teaching in veterinary school, or even when you're dealing with veterinarians out here, and you'd... you'd say to the students, this yearling's got a cough, what do you think's going on? And some idiot would say, well, I think it's African horse sickness. And you'd say, well, this is America. And so the other
maybe, maybe Fred brought it over here.
Yeah, so the answer to that other student was, what a zebra. And so you say, you're looking for zebras. You're looking for, you know, so... Don't you're not dealing with, you know, what the normal workup of something would be. You're just going for the zebras. So maybe we can get Fred to talk about what he sees in the zebras over in Africa. But anyway, what got me thinking about some of the myths that we have is there's an article, an excellent article by Martin Nielsen in the... what they call Equine Disease Quarterly from the University of Kentucky, and that is a Lloyd's of London supported communication paper that goes out. And so Martin, Dr. Nielsen, has reviewed parasite control from the standpoint that we're not getting the message out. So some of the myths that we'd have is people would come to me and say, what are we going to do about this mild winter? The parasites are going to be heavier and heavier. Well, that's not true. Everybody grew up believing that the hard freeze is what kills the parasites off. And that they just hibernate. They don't get killed off. What kills the parasite is when the temperature gets hot in the summer. And so the eggs are in the field. The eggs are in the field.
Want a cough drop, Doc?
Yeah, I'll grab one. And the eggs are out in the field, and the temperature, when it gets up about 85, 86 degrees, stimulates the eggs to hatch. If there's no horse on that field, that larvae dies. He starves to death almost immediately. So you can have a field that's naked and doesn't have any horses on it, and you can clean that field up 100%. Mm-hmm. The other thing that people hear as a myth is they don't want to run cattle with horses. If there are eggs out there that haven't hatched, cattle eat them, and they eliminate them.
In Europe, they do that quite a bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of management things here we don't buy into. To change. And so Dr. Nielsen pointing out, and he pointed out 4 things. He said either the parasitologist doesn't communicate well with the industry, the resistance is not parasite resistant to drugs, is not commonplace enough that people recognize it on every farm. The calendar way of doing things is easier on the brain, so you worm every other month, and you alternate the wormers. Mm-hmm. And over-the-counter meds are available to you, so you just run your own parasite control program. What they are saying is you need to do egg counts, and you find your Typhoid Mary out there that's shedding high numbers of eggs, and that's the animal that is your culprit. Mm-hmm. So you worm the heck out of that animal. Everybody else that has low egg counts, let's say 100 or less, you don't worry about them. Let them have some eggs. That's where they build their own immunity. So they keep their egg counts low on their own.
Okay.
So what he's saying is just hard to get management, Dr. Nielsen said, hard to get management to change, mm-hmm. which we all know this industry is pretty traditional. Yeah. And it, almost to the point you hurt yourself.
Yep. Can mean hard-headed sometimes, can it?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, listen to this guy.
I'd just like to do translations for some of our listening audience.
Do you?
He's pointing out that, again, if you look at our traditional use of parasite control and check it in the lab for resistance, a lot of the medications don't work. They do not work. So, you're like, the Panacure doesn't work. Hmm. But you got to, if you do it at the double dose for 5 days, it's the best thing out there for everything except box. So, part of the...
Use astringent for box?
No.
No?
No, you use the ivermectins, moxidectins.
For bots?
Yeah, for bots. Used to use a tube of stuff called Combat, which was trichlorophon, and it had to be administered by a tube. Huh. Or they would use carbon disulfide. Those were the old ways to get bots. But no, Strontium doesn't get bots.
Okay.
Right.
I'll take it back.
Well...
Here I come, Ralph.
and one of the problems with the ivermectins is the resistance. They're probably the most susceptible now.
Most commonly used.
Right. Yeah. So you got to, because they're easy.
Yeah.
And they're over the counter. And so you've got a high dollar foal on a high dollar farm. Extremely well managed. They're given all these medications right on the money every 2 months. And he's colicking, and he goes to surgery, and he's full of roundworms. Well, we use it. We wormed him for our roundworms. So it says on the label.
Yeah.
What people need to realize about those labels is when they are approved by the FDA, that was back 15, 20 years ago, and they were 95% effective against ascarids, roundworms. Uh-huh. Well, that's 20 years ago. And now those ascarids have developed resistance. So you can't rely on those labels. If a new drug comes out and makes claims, you kind of want to go to that because you know it's recently been tested. Otherwise, from a marketing standpoint, they're not going to go back and try and test their product and say, oh, we got a lot of resistance here. Mm-hmm. So that comes mostly out of the universities and those places that do research on those things. A few other myths. My foal is urinating through his navel. So get the veterinarian, come out and cauterize it with silver nitrate and close it up. Because I don't want to get a joint ill. You know, so in fact, when that foal, if he's on like an oral antibiotic, that oral antibiotic goes through the kidneys for elimination and concentrates 100-fold in the urine. So now we've got a bladder full of fluid with antibiotics, and the fluid is sterile. And he's going to urinate through that navel 20 times a day.
Uh-huh.
He's going to flush a potential abscess, keep it from forming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just put a little desitin on that navel and let him urinate through it. Don't try and close it off. It was infected in the first place to develop
right,
that.
Right.
So don't
just let it drain. Huh?
Let it drain, and it'll close itself, and your chances of getting a navel ill or a joint problem are much less. Much less. Another myth: this foal had pneumonia, or this horse has pneumonia. He's never going to make a racehorse. The lungs can remodel and heal. Great, even pleurisies, if they're treated quickly and appropriately, can go on to be successful racehorses. We've had grade one caliber horses that have been pretty darn sick with lungs. So it tells you that their compensation ability is extremely high.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other things, and I'm going to turn this last one around to you. You're a former trainer. Tongue ties.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what they do? I mean, we tie some horses' tongues, and the tongue hangs out their mouth when they're racing, and those are great racehorses.
Would they be without them?
And without them, you still see those tongues hang out, and they're good, great racehorses.
Yeah.
And probably it pulls the tongue forward to prevent dorsal displacement.
That's why they're used.
But there's plenty of ones that still displace.
In spite of it.
In spite of it. So we really don't know. Is the tongue tie kind of a reliable tool? And I don't know.
Yeah. Use a figure eight,
right.
Usually, instead of a tongue tie.
Right. I think now we're getting into another era, which I've mentioned. Gary Priest has the dynamic scope that they record what the throat's doing while they're performing. I think there's a lot of information that'll come out of that. So treadmills just don't quite hack it as far as the real world.
Right.
And so I'm thinking universities will take those scopes to the track and look at the horses that are tongue-tied and see what the throat is really doing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's interesting.
Well, I'm looking for you to give me the true answer here. Get rid of any myths whatsoever.
Yeah. You're looking to Ursel for the true answer.
That's right.
My horses ran so bad I couldn't tell the difference.
I think the other myth that we have out there is just, and I'll blame everybody who buys products that make claims that there's no information.
Mm-hmm.
Stop all bleeders. Fixes this, fixes that, but there's no evidence. But you buy it because of the label claim. I shouldn't say, and that's really against FDA rules. But the FDA does not regulate the horse industry. It's not a food animal.
Yeah,
they don't put the time in to keep us up to snuff. So a lot of supplements are myths. A lot of bad products.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, let me pay a bill here. Let me get Fred on over here for a second, in just a second. And I'll have to learn how to pronounce his name.
Krakowiak.
Yeah.
That's
what it looks like. All right. Well, Sunday at Keeneland, Gypsy Robin, a three-year-old filly from the first small test crop by De Hare, returned to the scene of her impressive debut to win the grade $250,000 Beaumont Stakes. Now, Gypsy Robin opened a clear lead early, then wired the field to win the Beaumont by three lengths at the direct expense of little graded stakes winner Sacristy, a daughter of Pulpit. It was just a year ago that Gypsy Robin won her career debut in a maiden special Keeneland by 7.5 lengths. Sent to England for a second start, she gave a good account for herself in the Group 2 Queen Mary Stakes. That was her only start on grass. Back in the USA, she concluded her two-year-old season with a victory in the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth. The Beaumont was her first start at 3. Gypsy Robin, allowance winner, and graded place Costello, and Fairgrounds place Caillou are the 3 starters from 5 named foals in DeHare's first test crop. He was retired late in the 2008 breeding season. A brilliant Grade 1 stakes winner by the top sire, Awesome Again, DeHare. 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I was to mention to my good friend Ralph Quillen just a few minutes ago about that's why I buy my worm medicine and everything, and now I'm going to have to come down and trade it in. Ralph, open, keep the door open. I'm in there quite a bit. That's where I do all my business. And you're in there quite a bit. Or do they deliver them to you, Michael, all these free halters they give you?
No, we go and get them.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, don't you think? We save them a little bit of gas money.
Well, that
but we just got over 100.
Good Lord have mercy. 100
mm-hmm.
halters.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going on eBay.
Yes, sir. As soon as possible. They're wearing them now. We got a couple of weeks of wearing
them. Get a mud on them.
There they go.
Yeah, here he comes over to Ralph
again. Off
the lot. Well, no wonder he sells about 20,000 halters a year because he asked you to keep break even taking care of you, I think.
Thank the Lord for Ralph Quillen.
Right.
He's a very, very generous man, and I don't care what you say about him.
Well, I say good things about him. Hopefully, anyway. Well, Ralph's a good friend of mine. He's still threatening to open up that pub down in Paris, and I'm waiting for that to happen. Said he was going to name it Fitzgerald. Did he tell you that?
No.
That was his mother's maiden name, I assume. Unless he's named it after Jim Fitzgerald or, you know, not Griffin Farm, but I don't think so.
Maybe he found out how many Fitzgeralds live within 30 miles of the bar.
Okay. And they all drank.
And he said he named it after each one of them.
Yeah, right. Well, he's, Ralph's a really nice guy, and that's a great tack shop, by the way, and great gift shop in there. Stop in and see him. And judge for yourself. And the quality of the products is second to none. And they're right there in Paris, Kentucky. If you're coming in from the Lexington area, go to your third stoplight and look on your left. Parking right in the rear. You can't miss it. So that's Quillen Tack and Leather. That's Quillen.com, Quillin.com is his website. Now, where in the hell am I? Oh, okay. I got to take care of my good friends over at Windstar, and then Fred will be right with you. You can start painting one of these horses out here if you want to now.
I've been sketching all along.
Have you really?
Absolutely.
Okay. I hope you ain't sketching me.
He doesn't have any paint that's in the color of that shirt.
Actually,
that color does not exist in the natural world.
I only do portraits if you look like wildlife. So,
is that right?
Well, it's as close as you're going to get.
I guess it is right. Well, on April the 14th at Oaklawn, the Grade 2 $400,000 Oakland Handicap was won by Alternation, a 4-year-old colt by Distorted Humor, bred and owned by Pin Oak Stud. Alternation dominated his field to post his third straight stakes win. He's undefeated this year. He won the Peter Pan Grade 2 at Belmont last year. It was the type of performance one has come to expect from the progeny of Distorted Humor, who, according to statistics compiled by the Jockey Club Information Systems and published in the Blood Horse, was the nation's leading sire in 2011. Distorted Humor has sired 109 stakes winners, including the winners of all 3 Triple Crown events, plus the Breeders' Cup Classic. Distorted Humor stands for $100,000, doing a full stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. Home also of his classic-winning son, Drosselmeyer. Drosselmeyer won both the Classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, and he earned more than $3,728,000. Out of the Grade 1 Stakes winner, Golden Ballet, she earned more than $732,000. Drosselmeyer, standing his first season at stud, 17,500 live foal, due on the foal stands and nurses, 5% discount if you pay that fee by November 1. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
We have one of those.
Run it by me one more time.
You've got what, Michael?
We have one of Distorted Humor's great sons at our farm. We have a commentator there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 2-time Whitney winner. Looks just like, you know, he really stamps some Distorted Humor. I mean, they all look like he's fabulous.
Most of them run, too.
Boy, don't they?
Which is more important.
Yes.
You know. He has ranked, I think, among the top 10 sires, I think it's 7 times now.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
And yeah, depending on which sire list, you know, you read, I wish the magazines would get together on it, but one of them lists Distorted Humor, and the other one lists Giant's Causeway. And they're both advertisers here, you know. So
we could have a match race between the Thoroughbred Times and the Bloodhorse.
Got me between a rock and a hard place there, yes. You know.
Well, they're both at the top, and that's all that really matters.
All right. We'll call this is Fred
Krakowiak.
Krakowiak. What denomination is that?
It's Polish.
Okay. All right. And this is, I'm glancing through your book here, and you spend most of your time in Africa. What are you doing over at Old Friends? That's what I want to know.
His wife asked the same question.
Well, my wife would much rather be at Old Friends because she can take a real shower there. She can't do that in Africa. She's taking bucket showers there. So
do you spend a lot of time over there?
I spent about 6 weeks. So I
just, a year? Or
6 weeks a year.
Is that right?
Right. So we go July and August. Michael keeps trying to have me change dates because he wants me to go to Saratoga, but I haven't been able to do that because in Africa the weather there is perfect. 78 highs, 40s lows, no mosquitoes, snakes are hibernating. So it's a good time of year to go.
Snakes are hibernating, huh? And then mine didn't. Well, we had two in our crawl space in the house. Hey, you want to come over and take some pictures of them? Well, you take your own photographer, obviously, and then you do these are awfully close-up photographs. A couple of these things are scarier than hell. This one of that elephant charging.
Yeah.
I hope you had a long lens because he'd catch me going away, I'll tell you what.
No, this is the lens I use right here. It's just
the
a
elephant
small
almost
camera.
Got him. Why don't you tell that story, Fred?
The elephant, we were taking photos of the elephant munching on some acacia leaves about 30 yards away, and the wind shifted and he changed, pivoted on his left foot, and I'm lying down in Cape Buffalo dung right at the trunk.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Hey, you've got to get close.
And your wife goes with you?
She stands about 30 meters back. She has no...
Away from the buffalo
dung.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Every time an elephant charges, she increases my life insurance.
That's so,
but he
That's
charged.
Probably why she goes with you.
Make sure she can cash in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he charged and had his tusk up over my head. They were about 5-foot tusk. He weighed about 13,000 pounds, about 11 feet at the shoulder. And trunk was tucked, trumpeting. Feet were hitting the ground and the dust exploding and the smell of musk. It was just thrilling to have that happen. And when he was
thrilling, I would have had a laundry problem.
His tusk, move over, Buffalo Dog.
You're right. Mingle in here.
But yeah, the charge lasted about a minute and 46 seconds because I was doing a video of it, and my guide was with me, sitting next to me, getting some great still photos. So, I mean, those, and when those branches break, they sounded like 2x4s breaking, just cracking in half, and his foot hitting the ground just sounded like potato chips smashing up. It was the sounds, the sights. I didn't breathe for that the minute and 46 seconds. Probably.
I bet you didn't.
No, it was. But we.
Well, how close did he get to you?
He was. The foot was about 3 meters from my face, and his tusk was maybe, you know, a yard over my head.
But
so
what made him stop?
Maybe I smelt worse than the Cape Buffalo dung.
Well, I don't know what to say. I'm not going to touch that line.
But
I probably would have.
You know, you almost got to be like Doc. You have to, you know, he reads horses, and that's, you have to read the wildlife. You have to read the elephant. Is it a mock charge, or is he going to keep coming? And the same with lions and the lion encounters I've had. You just have to read their body language and then just go about your way from there.
Read the body language of a lion.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather be illiterate and stay in the truck. You know.
Well, you don't. These close encounters give you the opportunity to see the soul and just to grab the, you know, capture, I should say, the spirit of the animal on canvas or. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, is this the new one now?
That's the new one.
Yeah,
that's
you've had one. One. You've been here once before.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember your artwork.
Yeah, this is the new book. It'll be on. It'll be in the bookstores and on Amazon on May 1st.
Oh, May the 1st.
May the 1st. Michael gets a. Michael's lucky. He moves to the top of the list. He always gets a advanced copy.
It's a gorgeous book. And if people want to see some of Fred's art, he's got fabulous two amazing paintings, one of Precisionist and one of Lava Man, that are both hanging in the circa 1840 restaurant in Georgetown.
Oh, okay.
And Fred does them on copper. Huge slabs of copper. And Precisionist, who's my favorite, he explodes off of the, just explodes off of that copper. Just unbelievable.
Jack, yeah, it was the pictures I was talking about. Yeah. See, he looked like he meant business, didn't he?
He did mean business. Turn to page 104, and you'll see just how close they actually get.
104?
Okay. And while she's doing that, at Michael's party, he actually did a bronze of Ferdinand that... that I believe you're going to be auctioning off.
Yes, uh-huh. Fred did a beautiful bronze of Ferdinand that we're going to be auctioning off at Ferdinand's Ball. It's going to be a great event.
Good Lord have mercy. Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, you got a death wish or something?
Couldn't you have dumped behind the tree?
Notice it. I'm not sure. My pants there might have been brown.
Yeah, really.
That's too much information. This is beautiful.
It's a beautiful book. It really is. Is it? When's it coming out again?
It'll be in Amazon and some bookstores on May 1st.
Okay. Okay. Old Joseph Beth here in Lexington, maybe.
I've been there before. I'm sure you could order it from them.
Yeah. Okay. The best thing to do is just get on Amazon and order it.
Probably.
Yeah. What's the title of it, Jackie? Once again. The Artist's Safari.
Yep.
All right. Capturing Africa with pen, lens, paintbrush, and soil paints. I'm sorry, Fred. I couldn't resist that.
That's hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is. You going to be over at the Derby party?
No, I can't make it this year. I'll be lecturing in California, but... I will be. I visit Michael quite often. Thankfully, he invites me back. And
how'd you get on to old friends? What's the connection there?
About I'd say 7 years ago, I was when my first book came out. I was given a presentation at Joseph's, and we were looking for a bed and breakfast, and we just happened to find Michael's, and I called him on the cell phone, and. This is a true story. He goes, well, I'm not home right now, but just go on to the house and let yourself in. Make yourself at home. Oh. So, we were old friends from day one.
Was there beer in the icebox? That's what I wanted.
Absolutely. Which right. Now that's...
he's a good host.
We know the bait.
Yeah, right.
Bourbon and beer and fabulous horses.
Well, I hope you do real well with this, and I better pay a bill here. We've talked right through. Thank you, Fred, for coming by. I appreciate that. Well, Bernardini is one of the most popular young sires that stood in North America. He was the nation's number one ranked second crop sire in 2011, and he's a top 10 sire in 2012. Last year, his sales yearling sold for an average of over $327,000, and his stud fees climbed to $150,000. The first graded stakes winner by Bernardini to enter stud is Wilburn, and he's standing his first season at stud at Spendthrift Farm. Now, Wilburn won the Grade 2 Indiana Derby over a field that included Preakness Stakes winner Shackelford, Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Caleb's Posse, plus the $300,000 Smarty Jones Stakes and top races at Santa Anita, Monmouth Park, Churchill Downs. He earned nearly $600,000. Superb individual. He sold for a sales topping $625,000 as a two-year-old. Wilburn is one of two graded stakes winners out of stakes winner Moonlight Sonata, winner of the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie. In fact, his first three dams were all stakes winners and stakes producers. Wilburn is standing his first season for $6,500, doing the foal stands and nurses, and be sure to ask about breeding incentives. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Dez Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ned Toffee, 294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986 as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3 year olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, if you want to save some money, go to equinesavings.com. That's equinesavings.com. And my friend Steve Anderson over there. And it doesn't cost you anything to join, anything like that. And you get big discounts, especially on quality products like the Toro mowers and X-Mark equipment. You can save up to 28% off Toro or X-Mark, either one. Or farmpaint.com. We just had our farm done with it. It looks really good.
It looks wonderful.
It really does look
good.
Yeah, it
goes on beautifully, and it dries quickly.
Yeah.
So what's it been done, 3 days, two days?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the rain. But it really looks nice. Wonderful paint.
Yeah, that's...
I can vouch for the paint.
Farmpaint.com, and a lot of the name farms, other than our little dinky place, use it. People like Judd Mart. And
well, don't they use it here?
Windstar, yeah, and the Thoroughbred Center. Yeah. Now, I hope they're going to do the clocker stand in it.
Oh, my
I'm going to bug them.
You have to dress up.
Oh, yeah. I'm dressed up now. I got
Michael, did you see what...
I did. I noticed. We've been commenting on our fashion hotline.
Okay. Other products include Office Depot, Boston Steel. But you call and talk to Steve about it, and like I say, and he donates part of the money that's saved and so forth to TOBA and KTA, and they use it to promote the industry. So it's a win-win situation every which way you go, and I think they've done something for you, too.
Yes, we got a free mower.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. They didn't do that for me. Steve, where's my free mower?
You're not a non-profit, although some days you look like
it. Now, wait a minute.
Hey, how do you know?
No, wait a minute. We're not a not-for-profit, but we are definitely a non-profit.
Right. Well, anyway, go to that website, equinesavings.com. All righty. Let's see where I am right now. I'm not sure where I am anymore. Well, we're at the top of the hour. Let me do the top of the hour stuff, and then we'll come right back. Well, I don't think my guest is going to make it on time, but that's all right. He's flying in from Louisiana.
Oh, who's coming?
Jay Goodwin.
Oh, great.
He bought the dam of that nice filly, Gypsy Robin.
Very nice.
For his clients. Also bought the dam of that nice flashy bull coat, Flashy Dresser that Fred Seitz out of here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Fred's run him 3 times and win 2 stakes.
Yeah, Fred's doing very well.
Right. Fred's a nice guy.
Yeah,
I'm glad to
see
him do it, you know. I think he could sell that for a lot of money, but...
he's holding on.
He won the Rush Away, and then he went up to Charlestown last week and won a $250,000 stakes race.
Very nice.
So he knows what the hell he's doing. He's an old jarhead. He's an old Marine.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He helped us get Will's Way.
Did he really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Fred's a great guy, yeah. Brookdale Farm. That was named after where he was raised, a farm up in, I believe, in New Jersey. Maybe New York. I'm sorry, Fred, I've forgotten one of those hick states up there. Well, Street Hero was one of 14 Grade 1 winners by the leading sire, Street Cry, whose stud fees climbed to $150,000. A Street Hero garnered his Grade 1 win as a 2-year-old. In fact, he won a place in 3 straight Grade 1 stakes of 2, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And a year's end, he was ranked 4th on the experimental handicap. Out of a daughter of Freakless winner and successful sire Summer Squall from a running family, Street Hero stands for $5,000 to win the foal stands and nurses at Vinery, Kentucky. And his yearlings are sold for up to 27 times his stud fee. As a reminder, the deadline for entering this year's yearling sales is May 1. Now, Vinery has a great track record for success at sales, so get in touch with Derek McKenzie, who's the director of public sales, to discuss how they can help you succeed. Derek's number, it's his cell number, is 351-3100. Or you can call the farm at 455-9388. Or you can check the website for both numbers as far as that goes at vinery.com. And, of course, they have facilities, great facilities in Kentucky, Florida, New York. They're supplying full-service facilities for the thoroughbred at Vinery.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Flashy Dresser, a 3-0 Colt, the first crop of Flashy Bulls, undefeated in three starts, won his debut on March 4 at Gulfstream, taking a maiden special for 6 3/4 lengths. Sent to Kentucky, won the $75,000 Rushaway Stakes at Turfway, then last Saturday won the $250,000 Robert Hilton Memorial Stakes. Bred by Ricky G. Smith and sold as a yearling for $70,000, Flashy Dresser has already accumulated earnings of over $223,000 for owner-trainer Fred Seitz. Incidentally, he trains right here at the Thoroughbred Center. Flashy Dresser is just one of six stakes horses from the first crop of Flashy Bull, a list that includes Flashy Lassie, winner of the Grade 3 debutante at Churchill, and the undefeated Beluga Bull, winner of three stakes in Canada. Flashy Dresser is one of 21 individuals by Flashy Bull to sell for more than $50,000 last year, with a top price of $250,000 for a filly at Keeneland. Horsemen like what they saw, and now they're living up to expectations. Flashy Bull, though he was a superior graded runner at both 2 and 3, was at his best at 4, winning his last three starts, including the Grade 1 Stephen Foster at Churchill, for earnings of over $844,000. He stands for $10,000 live full, with possible breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com. Remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, we're starting the second hour here at the Thoroughbred Center, where we've got a sloppy track, but had a few works this morning. Not many. Most of everybody worked yesterday.
Yeah. I was talking to George Harrison, your guest.
Yeah.
He used to ride out here. He's ridden for everybody out here just about. He was out here when the roof went down on the lower track.
That was about 96?
Seven. Six 90. Or seven, yeah, yeah, whenever.
Yeah, yeah, big snow.
Big snow. Yeah. When I got home in. Driving through a blizzard in that Suburban, I loved that car. That thing, I could have driven to the North Pole in that car.
Yeah.
I was the last person out Russell Cave. Absolutely. And I couldn't see the road, but I knew it so well. I knew where all the trees were, and I just aimed where I would normally be.
Blaze a path.
Got all the way out there.
Got to the front gate, and I was stuck in the driveway in my truck.
And he and his truck, and I thought, I can't go down there. But it turned out to be fine because we kept it up there so it could get out way before anything else got out.
Yeah, it took me forever to dig that damn truck out of there.
No, and it was crooked, too.
Well,
kind of crookedy.
Yeah, well,
I'm just glad I saw it.
Yeah,
right. I didn't drive on down.
You want to do some announcements?
Sure. This is kind of fun. We're out here at the Thoroughbred Center, 3380 Paris Pike. Y'all know where it is. They're going to take wagering on Keeneland's live race meet. That's the rest of this week. Plenty of parking, access to mutual and self-service wagering machines. They're going to be open from 8 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. I think Keeneland's last day is Friday.
Yeah, they run the Jockey Club Stakes. They run the mile race.
Yeah.
The Derby trial.
Yeah. So as far as that goes, it will just be open then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week.
Now it's also open for the Oaks and the Derby.
Now, is there any pre-betting or just those 2 days?
Just those 2 days.
Okay, so if you want to bet and you don't, the lines at Keeneland get real long at the drive-through. That's why I think they did it.
Yeah.
So you can just come out here. It's in the main building. Don't go in where it says stable entrance. Go to the next entrance if you're heading out.
I offered to start a bookie up here, but in the Cocker Stand, but nobody would. So far, I haven't found a backer.
Do you need a backer?
Yeah, in case something hits at long odds, you know. I don't want any Donna rails coming into 91-1. You know.
Wonder one of Mother's old bookies is still up in Covington. She liked to bet, boy. She'd call them all.
That was your mother.
Yes, she loved racing. Okay, April 27th. What's today, 21st? Thoroughbred Racing meets Thoroughbred Sport Horses. Oh, this is pretty good. Friday the 27th is the last day of Keeneland's meet, and it's in the middle of Rolex. Rolex is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a 4-day, 3-day. So they are going to have an initiative called, the Jockey Club has an initiative called the Thoroughbred Incentive Program. So it's going to be at the horse park, and it's going to have a lot of speakers. And I think Chris McCarron is also going to be speaking at something. I've got more about it. Let me see if I can't find it as I go through here. Now, at the horse park, Rolex is coming up starting the 26th. That is, like I said, Thursday. Mm. The Ariat Kentucky Reining Cup starts Friday. And cross-country schooling days, this is it. You can get to cross-country school all over the horse park on May 9th.
Well, all right, Jackie, let me interrupt you for just 1 second here.
Okay.
Opening day at Keeneland, the grade one maker's Mark Mile was won by Datalink. 4-year-old colt released from the first crop by Warfront. And just some 24 hours later, Grade Mills, another colt from Warfront's first crop, dismissed in the grade three Shaker Town at Keeneland. And on the same card, Dr. Chit, a 3-year-old colt by Warfront, sprinted 6 furlongs, 109 flat, to win a maiden special by 8.5 lengths. Now, Datalink's time for the maker's Mark Mile was 1:34-1, less than a second off the track record. And he won at the direct expense of the grade one winner, Tourallure. Great Mills set the early fractions of the Shaker Town, 21-3, 44-1, 55-2. And the winner had to set a new course record, 5.5 furlongs and 101-2. To best him by a nose. The sire of 3 grade 1 stakes winners in his first crop and a 5 stakes winners already this year. Warfront, son of the great Danzig, stands for $60,000 doing a full stands of nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com. And also, Claiborne is the home of Pulpit, who sired Pack Attack. And Pack Attack yesterday won the grade 3 double dog dare stakes out at Keeneland. It's a $100,000 pot.
Here are two named professionals at the Clay Ward Agency in a position to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Munnings is the fastest son of champion sprinter Spitestown, who was represented by his fifth 2012 stakes winner just last Sunday when Town Prize won the $150,000 Woodstock at Woodbine. Spitestown was a top 10 sire in 2011, and he ranks among the top 10 on the general sire list again this year. Munnings had blinding speed, sprinted 7 furlongs and 1:20-3 to take the grade two Woody Stevens Stakes at Belmont, and 1:22-2 to win the Gulfstream Park Sprint Championship. Along the way, he placed in 6 more graded stakes, all 6 grade one, the Champagne, the Hopeful, the Haskell Invitational, the Vosburgh, the King's Bishop, the Carter. A superb individual, Munnings sold at auction for $1,700,000. From a family of dozens of top-graded stakes winners, he stands for $10,000 doing a full stand of nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Now, the first foals by Munnings are arriving this year to rave reports. For more information about the Ashford Stud stallions, check the website at coolmore.com or call the farm, 873-7088. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do.
All righty. Well, we've got Steve Moody back with us again this week, and I didn't think Steve was going to come back. I thought he was kind of pacing himself for the Derby. But Steve, welcome back, my friend, and who's going to win the Coolmore Lexington today?
Well, I appreciate that, Ursula. Yeah, we got a full, nearly a full field, 11 drawn for the Lexington today. No scratches. I just checked that, so looks like we're going to have a pretty good race. You know, it's tough to throw out very many in this race, so you can make a case for almost everyone. Some of them that I think bear looking at, the one horse Morgan's Gorilla. I thought he ran a good race last time out, the first time out in the stakes. He goes for Mike Maker and Julian Leperoux. Of course, Julian had six winners yesterday, had a big day out there, tied the record for most wins.
Who held that record?
Craig, there were two people, Craig Perrette and the other one escapes me at the moment.
Was it Donnie Brunfield?
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been, but I know Craig Perrette was one of them.
Okay.
But anyway, I thought this horse, Morgan's Gorilla, I thought he ran a big race from, he was stuck in post number 12 in his first stakes try and ran pretty well. He takes the blinkers off today, draws the rail. Another interesting horse is the three, Joanne's Bourbon. This is just a maiden winner, but when this horse ran up at Turfway, the money showed on him, and he just absolutely just pounded this this group of maidens in a sprint race. So really don't know what to think of him. Garrett Gomez picks up the mount.
Yeah, Kellen Gorder trains him. He's Kellen has got a split. He keeps horses at Keeneland, and he's got a division here at the Thoroughbred Center also.
He ran just a huge race, so he's stretching out today, going long. So you got to figure he's probably going to show speed, and like I said, you know, he could be any kind. He's 8-1 on the morning line, and you know, until he gets beat, I think you got to consider him in here. The 5-horse Golden Ticket, 6-1 for Kenny McPeak. This horse is going real good now. The only question about him is it looks like, you know, all his races have been on the dirt, and just don't know how he'll take to the surface out of Keeneland on the poly track. The 6-horse, another 6-1 shot for Todd Pletcher. Holiday Promise finished second up at Turfway in the Spiral Stakes behind Went Today Well. And they took they put blinkers on this horse two starts back, and he really seemed to respond to that. He ran well won, and then of course ran second in the Spiral. He's come back off the Spiral with some nice works, and I think he's got a big shot here. He'll settle off the pace and look to run him down late. The 7-horse Castaway is the morning line favorite at 3-1, and this is the only horse in the field that can actually get to the Derby. If he were to win today, he would have enough money to get into the Derby field. This is a Street Sense colt, and Bob Baffert has him, and of course Baffert's just got a barn full of nice ones. Of course, you got Bodie Meister, who won the Arkansas Derby in a romp last week.
And yeah, he was scary, wasn't he?
He'll probably be one of the favorites on Derby Day, and so Castaway is certainly one that you've got to look at here. A horse who's a huge price that I think has a chance is the 8-horse Hammer's Terror. the two best races he's run have been on poly track, and he comes back to the poly track today, trained by Michael Stidham and Robbie Alvarado rides. And you know, if he runs back to either those races that he's run on poly track, I think he's got a chance in here. He's, like I said, 30-1 shot. I'm definitely going to use him in my gimmick plays. Mm-hmm. And then the outside two horses, the 10 News Pending, got away to a slow start in the Florida Derby. Didn't run his best race. I think he's capable of a lot better today. And then the 11 Gold Magilla, this one's got tactical speed for Graham Motion, who's going to have Derby runners again. And John Velasquez is coming in to ride him from New York. So he's not coming in just for just sightsee. So this one's I think going to get a good trip from the outside, and he's got a shot. So it's a wide open kind of race, sir. So I finally settled on the 6 horse Golden or Holiday Promise. I thought that was a big effort in the Spiral Stakes. He seems to like the synthetic surface. He's got tactical speed. I think he's going to be sitting in a pretty good spot in here when they turn for home, and he'll try to run him down in the short stretch run. I'm gonna use my long shot bomber here, the 8 Hammer's Terror, second to 30-1 shot, just because I think he really loves the poly track, and I think he's gonna get score kind of overlooked here. And then the outside horse, Golden Magilla, for a Grand Motion. So we're gonna go 6, 8, 11 in the Lexington Stakes. And I think another long shot I mentioned that you can use is the Kellen Gorder's horse, Joanne's Bourbon. Just really don't know, what he'll do just off of maiden win. But the way he ran at Turfway, I think he's worth throwing in if you're playing a trifecta or whatever. He's worth throwing in there too. So 6, 8, 11 in the Lexington.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Talk to you next week.
All right.
All righty. Well, I've got Jay Goodwin just walked in. So get a closer to that microphone, Jay. And you just come from the airport?
Just came from the airport.
Did you drive or your wife drive?
I drove.
I'm glad I didn't ride with you.
We made good time. I looked like Le Perou hitting the lane, so I got here as fast as I could.
Did you? We weren't counting on you, as a matter of fact. I thought, when did you say your plane got in?
It got in. We touched down at 10:44.
10:44,
yep.
And you came from the airport, you had to check out, get your baggage, organize your wife.
Load 3 kids.
And
Are the kids in the car?
Yes,
well, bring them up here, for God's sakes. Yeah.
She'll be crazy with 3 kids in a car.
Why, absolutely.
Bring her up. There they come.
There they come.
The doors are all 4 doors. They're, yeah. Oh, 3.
Well, Jay owns Good Wind Farm. I was commenting earlier about, that was a built-in name for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, all you had to do is separate your name.
That's right. Every win's a good win, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And you bought the dam of that Philly, Good Philly, Gypsy Robin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
At the, you got all girls?
3 girls.
3 yes, girls.
Aren't they pretty?
Oh, they're gorgeous. Thank goodness they look like mommy. you just were getting back to getting here from the airport. You've been in Louisiana. What were you doing down there?
Checking on clients. My client that owned Gypsy Robin, that bred Gypsy Robin.
Okay.
He's down there. And then we got a guy named Jake DeLone that played quarterback in the Super Bowl and just retired. And
who did he play for?
He played for the Houston, but he went to the Super Bowl with Carolina.
And he's one of your clients?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I also own Select Sales, and a lot of these clients are Select Sales clients, and just recruiting yearlings for the upcoming yearling sales also.
Oh, yeah, yeah. May 1 deadline,
yes,
for that, isn't it?
Correct.
Yes. So who's in with you in Select?
Carrie Brogdon, who owns Mottmer Hall.
Oh, yeah.
I used to manage her farm before I went on my own.
Okay.
And then Andrew Caring, who's been at TaylorMade in Hillendale, is a partner. And then Tom Ryan, who's the bloodstock agent for SF Bloodstock.
Okay.
The four of us.
Yeah. Where's your farm now? Where's it?
It's in Bourbon County. It's we call it the unpopular side of Bourbon County. It's in North Middletown, but it's out past Jalapa. In fact, Mr. Mogi, when he was managing Jalapa, he actually mm-hmm. built our farm.
Oh, did he now?
At that time.
Yeah.
And it's been a horse farm for last since he built it, but we've had it for five
That's
years
Wayne's
now.
That's Wayne's dad.
Yes, Wayne.
Yeah, I knew him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Wayne. Wayne is, I think he's here now. I think.
Yeah, Wayne's a great trainer. Wayne, actually, the first horse I ever sent to the track, Wayne trained for me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was it here?
Yeah, she was right here. She was actually at this barn for the short time
ago,
he was here.
How long was that ago? Was that now?
Wasn't too long ago, probably 18 months ago.
Oh.
They used to be in our barn.
Yeah, we had
really?
Yeah. Back in the late 80s, and you didn't know Wayne was that old, did you? Back in the late 80s and the 90s, early 90s, we had barn 15.
Right.
Over there, and Wayne was there with his brother. Guy was getting on the horse's farm.
All of those smoggies were there.
Yeah, in fact, his sister really? Was working there, walking hots or something, I don't know.
Guy?
The whole family. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, you're running a boarding farm there. We'll
yes, yeah. yeah. We breed about 80 mares a year.
Wow.
We'll foal about 40, 45 a year. That's what we've done probably the last few years. And
how do you get away?
I've got a great wife who can manage the farm when I'm gone. So yeah. She's been working her
What's
tail
your wife's off. Name now?
Jana.
Good to see you, Jana.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
What are your girls' names now?
Mine's
JC.
Jaden.
Jaden. And Jalen.
All three J's.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And they're all real pretty. Well, you bought the dam this out of the sale for Mr. What was the guy?
Clark.
Okay.
Yes.
Now he's from Texas, isn't he?
He's a Dallas. His business is Dallas, but he's actually a Louisiana, Arkansas guy. But his main business is in Dallas. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What'd you see in this marriage?
Well, me and Mr. Clark had decided to attack the market. I mean, everybody was jumping ship, and mare prices we knew were going to be at an all-time low, and we thought we really could step up and get some mares that we wouldn't normally
What
be
year
able
was
before.
This now?
This was, it had been, she's a three-year-old, so it had been 4 years before November ago.
Okay, the mare was carrying
her. Carrying her,
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was a young Indian Charlie stakes place mare. She had one foal that was a tail of a cat, and She was a really nice racehorse by Indian Charlie, and we thought Indian Charlie would probably be a pretty good broodmare sire, which it's turned out that he has been.
Been pretty good every kind of sire.
Yes. And we thought we were going to have to spend $75, so when we got her for $55, his first words when I sold, we got him, I mean, he wasn't there, but I'm on the phone with him, he said, that's a home run, and it didn't end up being a sale home run. I think we sold her for $27 or $25, something like that, but we knew the whole time she was a racehorse.
Yeah.
I had a silent name. These two fillies were in the same paddock, and a horse named Paoli that crushed them Sunday over there in a 30 claimer for Foley. They mm-hmm. were in the same paddock. Both these horses were race horses. Now Gypsy Robin's a Grade Two winner, and this horse is just one for 30. But mm-hmm. but they're both useful horses for sure.
I think you mentioned that you bought the dam of
Flashy Dresser. Yes, yeah. Bought her, and then the first year we foaled her, and then bred her to Flashy Bull, did that mating, and really knew we had a good horse there. He brought $75. I think it was the second highest price Flashy Bull colt that year.
Now, did Fred buy her?
Fred bought her
Fred
at that
Sykes.
Point, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Bought her for himself.
Yes.
Well, he's done pretty well. He's won three for three and won two stakes.
Yeah, that horse. And I don't know if you watched the replay of his last race, but it was incredible. At Charlestown, and broke. He was dead last going in the first turn, and Le Perou sort of ran into some traffic, and it looks like there's no way at the 16th ball he gets in, and he just barrels through the smallest of gaps and ends up getting up. So it was exciting.
Yeah. Fred trains here now, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
yes.
right down here in one of the new barns at Keenanville.
Right. And I came out and looked at the horse a couple times before he shipped him down the Gulfstream this past, before he started. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Fred couldn't be nicer. He treated me and the breeder. I mean, we went up to the Rushway Stakes, and Fred's class all the way through.
You know? Oh, yeah.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
Let me interrupt you. I've got to pay some bills.
Okay.
I'll get right back to you.
Okay.
Here. Well, last Saturday, let me make sure I'm doing the right thing here. Yeah, last Saturday at Santa Anita, Ms. Direction, the 4-year-old filly by Ms. Mast, added another stakes win to her growing resume by taking the $100,000 La Hacienda Stakes. That was her third straight stakes win. Now, Ms. Direction's a typical Mizzen Mast. Never been out of the money in 10 career starts, posting 6 wins, 3 seconds, and a third for earnings of over $360,000. She has won all 3 of her starts this year, the Grade 3 Monrovia, the Clocker's Tower at Handicap, and the La Ciengas. And she ran a mile in 1:34.1 to take the Sandy Blue Stakes at Del Mar last year. She also placed in 3 stakes last year, including the Grade 2 San Clemente and the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland, in which she was beaten less than a length for all the money. Mizzen Mast is also represented this year by Ultimate Eagle, winner of the Grade 2 Strube, and one of 3 Grade 1 stakes winners by Sire, French stakes winner Lord Sinclair, and the 3-year-old colt Z Dagger, who's placed in the Grade 2 Risen Star and the Grade 3 La Comte, and the promising New York Stakes filly Wicked Miz. Grade 1 stakes winner Mizzen Mast is a proven Sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. He stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also the Grade 1 Stakes winner, First Defense. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, it was another great weekend for racing clients for McCauley Brothers. Delahan, winner of the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes and thus a leading candidate for the Kentucky Derby, was raised by the Bonaterra Farm for her breeders, Phil and Judy Needham and Bina Halecki. The winner of the Grade 2 Fantasy, Mama Kimbo, was bred by Bill Betts, Dr. Chuck Kidder, and Wayne Masterman. Riley McDonald's the breeder of Daisy Devine, winner of the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley. Southern Award winner 2 Andy Wee, winner of the Star Shoot at Woodbine, was bred by Brereton C. Jones. Grin to the Good, winner of the Instant Racing Stakes at Oaklawn, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. And My Red Bird, winner of the Aqueduct's Videogenic Stakes, was raised at Clear Creek as a division of Coomore for Swettenham Stud. That's 6 stakes, 3 graded stakes, including 2 Grade 1 stakes in 1 weekend for associates of McCauley Brothers. Congratulations to all. Join the winning team. Just call Mike Warren or David Longmire, 873-3333. You're welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. That's McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Jim Fitzgerald's a good friend of mine over in Bourbon County, a neighbor of mine, known as Knott Griffin Farm. He came up under some of the top horsemen in the world, Michael Osmond, John Williams, Lee Eaton, and he's owned that farm from now since 1994. He's also got Harper's Island Farm nearby, and he does boarding, sales prep, public sales, private sales, you name it, rehab, right there on his farm. He's got quality help, and he can just give you some good, sound, common sense advice. Somebody you can talk to and somebody you can trust. Let me give you his website. It's Knott Griffin, KnockGriffin.com, and his phone number over in Bourbon County is 987-8032. All righty. Getting back here to Jay Goodwin, and here comes some bumper music on here now. Oh, that's Arthur Hancock singing a little bit there. Another Bourbon County.
That's right.
Yeah, we live over there, too.
Really?
Where are you from originally?
Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Natchitoches. My dad was a football coach and took me to the races. My grandfather actually took me to races in 1991, and it was probably, I've not thought about anything else since that day. And that's all I've thought about. And luckily, I met my wife, and her family had a cutting horse farm. And
where is she from?
She's from the same place.
Oh, okay. You
know, took my first college student loan and bought my first mare. Is that? And then got my next student loan.
You're supposed to pay your tuition with that.
That's right. Then I got my next student loan. Before I knew it, I had 4 mares and was doing it full time.
Breeding down there?
Mm-hmm.
In Louisiana. Okay.
Yeah.
You had a farm down there?
Had a was keeping them at my mother and father-in-law's.
Get a little closer to that mic.
Was keeping them at my in-laws, and then they told me I was going to have to do something else when I started getting too many. So we bought a farm and got married and bought a farm in Arkansas and had stallions and mares, and then came up here to haul a horse to Kentucky for a client of ours, and thought it was the greatest place. I felt like I was going through the pearly gates of heaven when I pulled in here. It was just...
Never been here before?
Never been here before. Thought it was... I actually went to basic training at Fort Knox, but I thought that Kentucky was terrible after that experience. But
I can understand that.
But after we drove up here, the whole way back to Arkansas, we said we're going to have to figure out a way to move up there for good. And
who were you breeding to? Do you remember? Is that you?
Yes, Evansville Slough at Buck Pond Farm.
Yeah. Nice. He was a pretty decent kind of a stud.
Yeah, big old horse. In fact, he just died a few months ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
But a guy named Mark Toothaker, 3 months later, he saw us at a shed row at a sale, and he said, "You're the hardest working kid I ever met. I want you to come manage my farm." And we sold everything we owned. These two were 1 and 2 years old, and moved to Kentucky and hadn't looked back since.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So they were foaled in Arkansas, huh?
Yeah. Okay. That's my only blue blood. That's my only Kentucky bred.
Only Kentucky bred.
Yeah. They're jealous that she's a Kentucky bred because I tell them Arkansas breds are cheap, but them Kentucky bred sure ain't.
So don't you listen to me. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So who'd you go to work for after that up here?
I managed a farm for Alan Poindexter and Mark Toothaker, Liberty Farm, and then Mockmer Hall. Mm-hmm. They gave me a job and I managed their farm, and we had a Derby winner. I raised they went to Ocala sale. They bought Join in the Dance, who ran in the Derby. I had him his whole for 7 months. The 7 months he was there, I had him, and then Flat Out, I had him for 7 months.
Oh,
for a year I had Flat Out, a Grade One winner, and then Join in the Dance, a Derby horse. So.
The Flat Out didn't go in the Derby, did he?
No,
that's the horse that won the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Yeah.
He trained right here. I've timed him.
Yeah, for
Preston's.
Yes,
Frank Betancourt had
him
here.
Right.
They're nice people.
Yeah, they are good people. So yeah.
Frank was up here this morning. Well, so was Miss Preston. As a matter of fact, they had a bunch of horses galloping.
They're North Middletown guys. They don't live far from us, right there at Oxbow, and I mean they're as close to farm as us as there is. So
We buy our hay from down there.
Really?
Yeah. Close to North Middletown. Before you get into it.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? I'm sorry, I've forgotten it now.
McFarland.
Yeah.
That's where I get my hay, too. Yeah. He does a great job.
He does. Boy, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
His facilities he's got there. You don't see a weed on the place.
No. Yeah. In North Middletown, that's hay country. I mean, there's about 10 different hay guys. You know when it's hay season because they all start knocking on your door. Yeah. Looking for you to buy some hay.
How many acres you got in your farm?
I got 140.
That's good size.
On two separate farms.
Two separate farms?
Yes.
Yeah, both close to each other?
Yeah, they're within a mile of each other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and so you sell any, you got any mares of your own?
Yeah, I actually own about 15 mares of my own. I keep some in other places, and then I keep about 10 of them at my place.
Mm-hmm.
I own 50% of all of them. I've only got one mare that I own full, but that little farm's done good for us. With the first crop, we had Twin Spired, who got beat a nose in the bluegrass.
Yeah, I remember him.
And then another filly named Brilliant Future that was Stakes Place for Joan Scott. Well, actually, Wayne Mogi had her run second in the stakes at Turfway. And then this crop, we've had Gypsy Robin and Flashy Dresser. So two crops, we've had four really good horses. So
Yeah.
Been very lucky.
Well, it takes a little bit more. It takes some hard work.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
As long as it don't take brains, I'll be all right.
Right. Well, that's what you're married for.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what my wife does. Well, that's wonderful. Do you all sell much at auction? Or?
Yeah, that's all we do. The only thing, in fact, I had my first horse win last night at Penn National that I owned as an owner. I mean, we're the ones that take it to the sale, and they're not coming home no matter what. But actually, I had a real nice coat for a client of mine, and I asked him if I could take a piece of it, and he won last night at Penn National. So that was my maiden as an owner.
Good pots up there.
Oh, yes. Maiden 10 claimer and $20,000 purse.
So. Yeah.
Can't beat that.
No, I think a lot of people are moving out up there, to race.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little worried about future Turfway.
Yeah, I'm too. I love that track. I mean.
Yeah, we used to train up there. It's fun to race up there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's. But anyway, well, I'm going to let you go.
Well, I sure appreciate you having us.
I hope you didn't break a track record coming out here.
I think I did. I tell you, I was weaving like Le Peru. I needed a whip or to get going a little faster.
We checked on you earlier this morning. on Facebook, Holly Turner. You know Holly?
Yeah.
She checked on you. You were still in Louisiana at that time. I said, oh, heck, he's not going to make it, you know. But he did. Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate you coming by.
No, thanks for having us. Anytime.
Good luck to you. Anytime you're out here, stop by.
Yeah, I will. Definitely. Yeah,
we do the clocking here every morning.
Definitely. Well, Keith Krupper, Alan Krupper has a horse for me. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Keith and Alan.
Yeah, me and Keith own a song and a prayer that's been bulleted, a horse named You Hate His Name, Do It Les Doms.
Did you name that thing?
Keith.
I think his name's written down up there somewhere. I believe it is.
He's supposed to run at Mountaineer and Main Specialway. Alan said he's really doing good, so hopefully that's my
idea. I think he worked yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid my French has got a whole lot of hard boot in it. But anyway, I wish you good luck with him.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Nice meeting you girls.
Thank you.
All four of you. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, keep in touch.
We'll see you at the grocery.
Yeah. Well, Sunday at Keeneland, Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly from the first small test crop by De Hare, returned to the scene of her impressive debut to win the Grade $250,000 Beaumont Stakes. Now, Gypsy Robin opened a clear lead early, then wired the field to win the Beaumont by 3 lengths at the direct expense of the graded stakes winner, Sacristy. She's by Pulpit. It was just a year ago that Gypsy Robin won her career debut in a maiden special at Keeneland by 7.5 lengths. Sent to England for her second start, she gave a good account of herself in the Group 2 Queen Mary Stakes. That was her only start on grass. Then it was back to the USA, where she concluded a 2-year-old season with a victory in the $100,000 sorority at Monmouth. The Beaumont was her first start at 3. Gypsy Robin, allowance winner, graded place, Castella, and Fairgrounds placed Caillou are the 3 starters from 5 named foals in De Hare's first test crop. He was retired late in the 2008 breeding season. A brilliant Grade 1 stakes winner by Top Sire Awesome Again. De Hare stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I'll talk a little bit about another trainer out here. It's a friend of mine. That's Mort Shirazi. And let me give you Mort's number, just to start off with, an 859 number, 351-2360. Mort trains here at the Thoroughbred Center, does very well for himself, too. I know this year he was hitting right about 26%, 27%, 28% wins. And most of everything, I think about 80% of his starters had finished 1, 2, 3, which is awfully good. Mort is... Well, he's been in the horse business all his life. In fact, his family's been in the horse business over 100 years. He used to ride races about 75 pounds ago. And he's a graduate of UK. He's managed Swifty Farms up in Indiana for, I guess, you know, about 5 or 6 years. Went up there as manager. And he'd spent some time at Lane's End, Pacing Stud. So he's got a great background. He also operates... Shirazi Bloodstock, S-H-I-R-A-Z-I Bloodstock, over in Paris, Kentucky, does seasons, appraisals, and so forth. I'll give you that phone number. I'll give you his website here in just a few minutes. He's got a whole lot of experience working with problem horses. And the fact that he's winning at a really good rate, you know, over 25%, working with horses that's starting out with problems, that's good horsemanship right there. So, if you've got a horse, he'd rather, of course, he wants to upgrade his racing stable a little bit, and he's open to, he'd like to take some quality racing horses, you know. And if you've got a horse with a little bit of a problem and you want him straightened out, we'll just give Mort a call. Let me give you his website. It's Bronc, B-R-O-N-C, Busters.com, B-R-O-N-C-B-U-S-T-E-R-S.com, and... he races everywhere around here. In fact, he'd go to New York race if you want him to. Ship one up there, fly one up there, whatever. That's Mort Shirazi, and the website again, BroncBusters.com. Well, Homie Box, a multiple graded stakes winner and a multiple grade one performer by champion sire Giants Causeway. Giants Causeway side, 115 stakes winners, 61 graded stakes winners, and 21 grade one stakes winners.
Hold Me Back won graded stakes at 3 and 4, taking the grade 2 lanes in and the grade 3 Dominion Day handicap. And he also ran second in the historic grade 1 Travers and the grade 1 Bluegrass. Won his first two starts as a 2-year-old. First at Arlington and right out here at Keenan in second. Along the way, he met and defeated the likes of Quality Road and Warriors Reward, retired with earnings of over $872,000. Hold Me Back, in addition to being sired by the most successful son of the great Stormcat, is out of the graded producer Restraint by the top sire Unbridled Song. And Restraint is out of a Vowel, champion 3-year-old filly and a champion sprinter in Canada. It's a superb female family, a family that's already given us the likes of Tom Fool and Aunt Jenny. First foals by Hold Me Back are arriving this year. He covered 100 mares in his first season at Stud at Windstar Farm, and he stands for $6,000 to win a foal stands and nurses with a 5% discount if paid by November 1. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jeremy Barnett and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Jack, I'm going to give you this, turn this over to you in just 1 second, but let me take care of my good friend David Schweitzer over at it, the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. And David likes us to announce the breeders of Kentucky bred winners from the previous week. And let's see who they were. Well, Dullahan won the Bluegrass Stakes, and Dullahan was bred by Phil and Judy Needham and Bina Halecki. Let's moving right along. Let's see what else we have here. The Maker's Mark Mile, grade 1, Data Link won that by Warfront. It was bred by Stuart S. Janney III and, of course, raised over at Claiborne Farm. The grade 1 Vinery Madison Stakes went to Goofy Doll, bred by Fred and William Bradley. The Jenny Wiley, a grade 1 winner, was Daisy Devine, bred by Riley McDonald. The grade 2 Charlestown Classic winner was, I don't know how to pronounce it, Kazak Electronica, whatever. Anyway,
Close.
Good. Richard Rowan bred that one. The grade 2 Oakland Handicap Alternation is a distorted humor that was raised and is owned by Pin Oak Stud. Congratulations to both, as a matter of fact. The grade 2 Fantasy, Mama Kimbo won that. Mama Kimbo was bred by Bill Betts, Dr. Chuck Kidder, and Wayne Masterman. The grade 2 Distaff at Aqueduct winner, It's Tricky, was bred by Stonerside Stables. The Commonwealth Stakes grade 2 at Keeneland, Lonesome Street won that. Lonesome Street's a Broken Valley. He's having a great year. Got 6 stakes winners. This one bred by John and Sarah Kelly. The Beaumont out at Keeneland grade 2 went to Gypsy Robin by De Hare. And was bred by Mr. Cloris Clark. And, of course, Jay Goodwin raised that one for him. Jay was just on the air with us. Seemed like a real nice thing. Gorgeous wife and kids. The Count Fleet Handicap Grade 3 winner, Out of Tune, was raised by John O'Meara over on the Russell Cave Road, Milestone Farm. You know, John's an awful nice guy. Those were the, the Shakertown also won a Grade 3. Went to Perfect Officer. And Perfect Officer was bred by Justice Farm. That's Greg and Steve Justice. And I think that is among the greatest stakes. They ran 14 of them. 12 of them were won by Kentucky breds.
Good.
Other stakes races, real quick. The Robert Hilton Memorial, Flashy Dresser won that. Bred by Ricky Smith. That's a flashy bull, first crop. The Sugar Maple Stakes at Hollywood, Magical Feeling, Peter Blum. The Call to Derby, Good Morning Diva, bred by Iodora Farm, I forget which. Instant Racing Stakes at Oak Lawn, Glenda the Good, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbreds. The Sunland Park Handicap winner, Fog Alert by Thunder Gulch, was bred by Tom Capehart. The Las Ciengas Handicap, Ms. Direction by Ms. and Mass, Joseph Parada. I think I'm about to run through, Jackie. Videogenic Stakes, My Red Bird, bred by Swettenham Stud. And the last one, I do believe, Clem McSpadden Memorial, Route 66 Stakes at Will Rogers went to Flatback. That's a flatter, incidentally. Of course, he stands over at Claiborne Farm. This one bred by Tony Jones. All right, Jackie.
Okay, I want to clear this up. I thought this Thoroughbreds for All was something at the horse park. It's not. What they're doing is trying to combine the last day of Keeneland, which is racing, and part of Rolex, because so many of the Rolex horses are Thoroughbreds, off-the-track Thoroughbreds. This is pretty clever. After the Rolex Cross Country, which will be 5 o'clock on Saturday, April 28th, that's next week, they are going to have at West Wind Farm an evening of racetrack people and Rolex people to talk about retraining Thoroughbreds off the racetrack for 3-day eventing. Now, they got some big deal people coming. This is West Wind where Lisa Malloy has New Vocations. Oh. They're going to have it out there in their covered arena. It's only $35, but they're only going to have 300 people. So you need to get your dibs in if you're going to go. It's a great idea. They're going to have drinks and a cash bar and, of course, food.
What's Southern the date on this again?
Next Saturday. Next Saturday at 5 o'clock. Now, they're going to have a welcome, and then they're going to have Bruce Davidson, Kathy Weishoff, Dorothy Holmes Kroll, and Dr. Stephen Allday will discuss. They're going to evaluate New Vocation horses and share insights on movement, conformation, soundness, the stuff you're looking for a 3-day horse. Then, which is just, I mean, that's amazing. This, the people are the best there are at this. Chris McCarron's going to be out there talking about what racehorses know when they come off the racetrack and have some NARA kids demonstrate. And it's just a wonderful idea. So it's at West Wind Farm, and I would think the best thing to do is to, I would Google Thoroughbreds for All. 595-6660 is Lisa Malloy's phone number.
Well, Bernardini is one of the most popular young sires in North America. He was the nation's number one ranked second crop sire last year. He's the top 10 sire again this year. His yearling sold for an average of over $327,000. His stud fees climbed to $150,000. Now, that's popular. The first graded stakes winner by Bernardini to enter stud is Wilburn. And he's standing his first season stud at Spendthrift Farm. Wilburn won the Grade 2 Indiana Derby over a field which included Preakness winner Shackelford and Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Caleb's Posse. He won the $300,000 Smarty Jones Stakes and top allowance races at Santa Anita, Monmouth Park, Churchill Downs, earned nearly $600,000. Superb individual, sold for sales topping $625,000 as a 2-year-old. Wilburn is one of two graded stakes winners out of the stakes winner Moonlight Sonata, winner of the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie Stakes. In fact, his first three dams are all stakes winners and stakes producers. Wilburn, standing his first season for $6,500, doing a full stands and nurses. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Phil, and Ed Toffee, 294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is Brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, risk, class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
All right, I want to call your attention to Equine Savings, and the website is equinesavings.com. It's that simple, and if you want to save some money on some really quality products, the Toro and the X-Mark mowers, they can save you somewhere up around 28% on those, and you can't beat that. Also, farmpaint.com, you can save, I think they said, what was the discount on farm paint, Jackie? About 10%, I believe.
Oh, 15 anyway.
15%.
Mention my name, they'll probably give you 25% off.
I doubt that seriously, but you get some off. Now, it doesn't cost anything to join Equine Savings. All you do is save money, and if you buy these products through them, and a portion of the money that they make, incidentally, goes to the KTA and Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association to promote racing. So it's a win-win situation. You can't go wrong. The farmpaint.com, incidentally, they've got a new office over here It's on New Circle. Well, it's on Old Frankfort Pike, close to. It's on Phillips Lane, 700 Phillips Lane. It's very close to the
animal shelter next door.
Next door to the animal shelter. So I want you to go to that website and check things out, because all you can do is save money and help the industry. It's equinesavings.com. Ask for my good friend Steve Anderson. He will be sure to take care of you. Equinesavings.com.
Okay. Like I said, Thoroughbreds for All, April 15th, 5 to 9. Call Lisa Malloy, 595-6660. Let's see. Open house, May 4th, Friday at Bally High Show Stable. It's a pizza party. Call up Joyce Brinsfield and ask her about it, 948-2632. High Hope needs all kinds of volunteers, ads for the program, volunteers for the silent auction, stick horse races, merchandise tent, items for the silent auction, and posters. Jessica Oldham Stith is in charge of this. Give her a call, 967-9444 or highhopesteeplechase.com, or just call the horse park. Legislative news. This is stinking. Employers who use H-2B visa temporary guest worker programs have got new procedures starting next Monday. It's a Department of Labor rule. God, H-2B employers, this is a lot of racetrack stuff. You have to pay for inbound and outbound travel for H-2B workers, including daily subsistence expenses, and you have to extend H-2B benefits to U.S. corresponding workers who work alongside the H-2B workers, and you have to demonstrate, not attest, that you've taken specific steps to recruit U.S. workers. This is a blow, boy. This is killer. They want to put you out of business? This is another one. The horse business is just taking it from all sides. It's ick. Anyway, if you... let's see, that's over. I'm about through, truthfully, other than check UrsulEllis.com, Lexington Computer Clinic. Help me with it, 263-7374.
All righty. Well, let's see. We've got about 3 minutes here to go. Let me talk about who saddle winners in the last week out here at the Thoroughbred Center. We had, since last show, we've had 12 winners from the Thoroughbred Center, including a stakes winner, and we've had 27 through the first winners through the first 20 days of the month. And the trainers who recently saddled winners are Paul Garcia, Arthur Antrim. Fred Seitz took Flashy Dresser up to Charlestown and won the $250,000 Robert Hilton Memorial. And, of course, Flashy Dresser, that is that Flashy Bull Colt that he won the Rushaway Stakes at Turfway from. He's run him three times now. We broke his maiden to Gulfstream, and Stakes wins at Turfway, and then a big one up at Charlestown. Let's see, who else we got to? Eduardo Caramori, Brian Kane, Kellen Gorder, Tommy Short, John Langemeyer, Bill Hickey. And the last three last night, one at Indiana Downs, and I really don't know how to pronounce this gentleman's name, but I should learn it because he wins all the time. It's Juan Ruvalcaba. What do you want to look at it for? You don't know how to pronounce it either.
I'm going to take a stab at it.
It's Ruvalcaba. Well, anyway, Juan,
that's close.
He wins pretty regularly, so I really should
stop up here at the clocker stand and tell Ursula how to pronounce your last name.
Give me some Spanish lessons. Adolfo Marcias and Luis Jurado. Jurado,
it was a Latino night at the races.
Yeah, Luis Jurado with Knight of Solence last night at Mountaineer. That horse I know real well. And his horses are easy to spot. He's got his name on the saddle cloth, and he has aqua-colored saddle cloth, so you see him.
He needs to put it on in something you can say easier. Yeah.
They're playing,
phonetically spell
phonetically,
that sucker.
We're playing. They're playing our bye-bye song on there right now. So
it's been a great show. We had great guests today.
Yeah. Jay, if you're listening, thanks for coming by again. And
George Harrison, he was fun.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, everybody.
Everybody.
All right. We'll be talking to you next week, and you can check this show where?
UrsoEllis.com.
There you go. See you next week.
Happy trails.